Jeremy Grant is the main Detroit Piston, really the only Detroit Piston that you've really heard in the trade rumors and trade talks amongst the Pistons community. But who's another Piston that actually may have a higher chance of being traded than Jeremy Grant this offseason? We'll talk about that in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I am your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to our YouTube channel, at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. We're on our road to 3,000 subscribers, continuing to show Locked On that we're the best and fastest growing fan base at the Locked On Network. So again, if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button over at the Locked On Pistons YouTube channel. I would really appreciate it. We got a few things we're going to talk about in today's episode of the podcast, but I want to start off with trade talks. And I know we've talked a lot about trade talks with Jeremy Grant. We're going to continue to talk about trade talks with Jeremy Grant because that's, I think, outside with the draft pick falling to five, I think Jeremy Grant trading or what happens with him as it comes to the trade market is probably the main topic of the Pistons offseason right now. It may change after draft night, obviously. People will get more hype for the draft pick. But I think as of right now, obviously, I think the main news source, the main thing being talked about is Jeremy Grant. Is he going to be traded? Is he not going to be traded? What for? Et cetera, what's he worth? All that stuff. But there's actually another Piston that I actually started thinking about the other day that may have just as big of a chance of being traded this offseason as Jeremy Grant. And I'll give you guys a second to take a guess at who that is. And if you guys have a guess, you guys can go in the comment section down below if you're watching this on YouTube and type in your guess and come back and see if you were right. The answer is Kelly Olynyk. I think Kelly Olynyk has a pretty good chance of being moved this offseason. And there's a few reasons for why. One, I won't say, I mean, this past season didn't go as expected. I don't think it's because he's just a bad player. Obviously, he dealt with injuries. He also dealt with COVID. Very inconsistent up and down year. He never really got to get into a flow of things. The Pistons were better when he was on the floor. He brought floor spacing, and they desperately needed anything offensively because their big man rotation just wasn't giving them anything offensively until Marvin Bagley was traded for. So the Pistons were fine when he was on the court, but definitely not a season that he would like to have again. Shot 44% from the field, 33% from deep. Only played 40 games, which is the lowest of his career. Definitely a tough season for him this past season, and I think a lot of people expect him to come back next year and have a really good year. Again, mostly his struggles this past season were because of injury. But nonetheless, it didn't go well. It didn't go how people planned it for his first season. Secondly, I think it's pretty clear. I've made it clear to you guys that my number one need for the Pistons this offseason is a big man, is the center position. Even though it may not be number one, your guys' needs, even though it may not be number one on Torrey Weaver's needs, I think reports, rumors, and who they're interested in has shown that it's at least somewhere on their needs. Somewhere in their like top five, because they're linked to big men all over the place as well. So I think what's going to end up happening is, and we'll talk about this actually later in the episode, you'll see what I mean. But at five, let's say they draft Keegan Murray. I think that's probably the likeliest scenario that all of us are starting to accept a little bit. Obviously, who knows what's going to happen, but I think the majority of Pistons fans are saying that Keegan Murray is going to be a Piston. It sounds like that's going to be it, unless he goes four or Jaden Ivey slips or something like that happens. Either way, let's say if Keegan Murray gets drafted by the Detroit Pistons, I think that means Jeremy Grant's probably being traded. And I think that also means that the Pistons will be making a run at DeAndre Ayton in free agency, which it sounds like from all the reports that they will be. And if they don't go after DeAndre Ayton, it sounds like they'll also be interested in Mitchell Robinson and Mo Bamba. All those guys played the position of Kelly Olynyk. Now, some people may say, oh, well, you can just play Kelly Olynyk at the four. No, you can't. Because now you got, if you were to try to play Kelly Olynyk at the four, how are you going to do that? You got Marvin Bagley, who's the Pistons sound like they're going to resign. You got Keegan Murray. If Jeremy Grant doesn't get traded, you have Jeremy Grant there. I think he'll be traded if you draft Keegan Murray, though. And then possibly even Sadiq, who can split time at the four. Like, it's very clogged at the four position. Kelly Olynyk will be playing the five for the Detroit Pistons if he's still on the roster. And if they're going after DeAndre Ayton, if they're going after Mo Bamba, if they're going after Mitchell Robinson, where's the room for Kelly Olynyk? Because they're not going to play him over Isaiah Stewart. So it sounds like that Kelly Olynyk, if the offseason goes according to these reports and rumors, if we're basing off of that, sounds like the Pistons will be trying to get another big man. I don't think Kelly Olynyk will be on the roster this upcoming season. I think people like myself and people in the Pistons community have kind of just thrown that to the side. Everyone's talking about Jeremy Grant being traded. It sounds like Kelly Olynyk may be on the move, maybe just as likely as Jeremy Grant. And as far as what Kelly Olynyk could possibly bring to the market, I think obviously a contending team would want him. Kelly Olynyk's a really damn good player. He's fine. He can be a nice piece off the bench. For certain teams, I'm sure he could probably start at the five that need some floor spacing. Probably more so off the bench as a key piece off the bench. A lot of contenders would love to have him. And by the way, just to give you like a quick summary of what I think he'd be worth, probably like a mid to late first round pick. I think the Pistons could possibly get that for him. I think his contract is really good for a team taking him on as well. For the 22-23 season, he'll be making $12.8 million, which right there isn't even that much for a guy of Kelly Olynyk's caliber. I think $12 million is not a lot in today's NBA. I think that's probably right around what he's worth. And then also in the 23-24 season, he's being paid $12.1 million, but only $3 million of that is guaranteed. If they release whoever has him, if they release him as of June 28th, 2023, you get $9 million taken off your cap right there. You only have to guarantee him $3 million. I think that could be very interesting to the team as well. You get him for the next season if he doesn't plan out, or if you like him, you could, much like the Pistons did with Corey Joseph, if you like how he played, then you can release him, get that $9 million back, and then resign him to a lesser contract, or you could just clear some cap and go after someone else a year later. I think his contract actually makes it pretty likely that a team would want to take him on as well. So, Kelly Olynyk, man. We've been talking about Jeremy Grant being traded. I think Kelly Olynyk has a really good chance of being traded as well. We'll see what happens. Let me know in the comment section down below if you guys think that Kelly Olynyk could be on the move or not. Also, you can let me know if you're listening to this on the podcast. You can let me know over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. Also, let me know what some teams that you think could possibly be interested in Kelly Olynyk. Let me know some trade offers that you think could possibly be good enough for Kelly Olynyk. Again, in the comment section down below or over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. When we come back, I know I said I wanted to make a full episode out of this, and we will. I want to do it with a guest, though, so we can go back and forth on that. But I want to talk about something that we're seeing in the NBA Finals and something we've seen in the playoffs that I want the Pistons to try and emulate, something that I want the Pistons to look at and be like, this is how we should probably try to build our team like. And something you can take away from these NBA Finals. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break. But first, I have to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your sports betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, news, and odds, including this year's basketball championship matchup, the NHL Hockey Conference Finals, Major League Baseball, and of course, all the latest fighting news from MMA and UFC to boxing. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends and action today. And if you head over to the website, you'll see baseball, basketball, boxing, football, but also golf, hockey, horse racing, martial arts, soccer, tennis, and much, much more. And if you head over to the basketball section, hey, man, it was very scary. It was very scary. I'm recording this after the Golden State Warriors game 4 win. My guy Steph pulled it out. They're heading back to Golden State. Game 5, Golden State is favored -160 on BetOnline.net. I am taking that. I think they beat the Boston Celtics. That's the kind of thing you can do over at BetOnline.net. Make sure you're checking out their website today or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends and action today. BetOnline, where the game starts. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast, continuing to show Locked On. We are the best and fastest growing fan base at the Locked On Network. Again, best way to support the podcast. I would really appreciate it. And make sure you're making the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft your second listen starting on June 16th with over 50 insiders. Nothing equals the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft. The Locked On NBA Big Board Draft Experts plus Odyssey Insiders. First pick is June 16th. Search Ultimate Mock Draft and follow now so you don't miss a singular pick. All right. So we're in the NBA Finals, obviously. We got Game 5 on Monday. We've seen many, many teams play in these finals. We've seen different built kind of teams. We've seen offensive heavy teams. We've seen defensive heavy teams. We've seen guard oriented teams. We've seen a big man oriented team in Denver. We've seen all kinds of different styles of basketball played in these NBA playoffs. However, I think what has been shown, and honestly, I think this has been a trend over the last few years. I think what you're seeing in these NBA finals is that there needs to be an emphasis on building your team. I think it's been shown what the most successful way of building your team is, what you need to have depth at, what you need to have good players at. And you can have a star at any position, and that's fine. You obviously just need a superstar. It doesn't matter what position they are. But I think it's been shown that you need this position specifically, and you need depth at this position specifically as well. And that's the wing position. I think if you look at the Boston Celtics, now obviously the Golden State Warriors is 1-4. Again, I'm rooting for Golden State. I'm a big Steph Curry fan, my favorite player of all time. But if you look at Boston Celtics, who probably are favored in this series, have been, you know, in control of this series for a lot of it. If it wasn't for Steph Curry going completely bonkers, they're probably up 3-1 right now. Not probably, they are up 3-1 right now. There's a this fruit fly that likes to come out anytime I record the podcast is really starting to piss me off, man. Like, where? Come on. Anyways, what you're seeing is Boston has a lot of depth at that wing position. They have a lot of guys who are able to switch across the board. They have size across the board. And I guess that right there is what I'm really trying to say. It's not so much just simply having wings, even though wings are like the best way to do it. I think when you say size across the board, you think of like wings who are capable of going up to the 4 or 5 position, wings that are going capable of going down to the 2 position. But even a point guard with some size on them, you want to be able to have size across the board because, one, you're seeing a lot of defenses just go switch heavy. It doesn't mean they switch every single screen. It doesn't mean they switch every single time. But a lot of teams are switch heavy now, especially when you have the kind of athletes and kind of defenders that Boston has, or the kind of defenders Miami has. Or even, you know, I think Golden State tries to do this with, unless, you know, they're targeting Steph. And even when they target Steph, even Golden State does this. They try to put Draymond down at the 5. Even with Kevon Looney. Kevon Looney's a really good switching big. Even he switches down the perimeter. So I think what you're seeing that the Pistons need to have, if you want to build a championship team, and the Pistons are trying to build a championship team. They're not just trying to build a playoff team. They got Cade Cunningham now, a guy that I believe is going to be a future MVP candidate, a guy that most of us believe is to face the franchise, a guy most of us believe is going to be a superstar in the future and is going to bring Detroit back on the map. You are now trying to build for championships in the future, and it starts from now. It's going to take a while. It's going to take it may take like 5-6 years to build something, 7 years maybe. It may take a while, but it starts now with the team building. You need to build in the right direction. I think it's quite clear. And I've said this on the podcast many times. It doesn't have to be Killian Hayes. If Killian Hayes doesn't improve and he doesn't become good, then it doesn't have to be Killian. But it needs to be a guy like Killian who has size on him. Sorry for hitting my mic just now. It needs to be a guy like with size on him who is capable of switching with strength and is capable of guarding multiple positions right next to Cade Cunningham. Because if you have that, you have 6'6", 6'7", Cade Cunningham. You have 6'5", 6'6", Killian 6'5", but again, it doesn't have to be Killian if he doesn't plan out. Be someone else who's around 6'5", 6'6". Then you got Sadiq Bey, 6'7", 6'8". You keep Jeremy, then that's like a 6'8", 6'9". But if you get Keegan Murray, that's 6'7", 6'8" again. And then at the center position, I don't really want to include Stu because you guys know I really don't see Stu as the center of the future. But just for this example, if you want those Stu in there, you have a switching big who's like 6'8", 6'9". You get DeAndre Ayton, who's not a complete just liability on the defensive end. He'd be able to switch every now and then. But across those 4 positions, those 4 main positions, most of the time you probably are going to have a center. If your center is capable of switching out on defense nonstop and also being extreme value on offensive end, you probably have a superstar. DeAndre Ayton probably isn't that right now if you were to get him. But another guy, Mitchell Robinson, he would be okay. You probably would want to play. I think you'd probably want to play drop coverage with him. Maybe also with DeAndre Ayton. Who knows? Mo Bamba, you probably also would want to play drop coverage with him. It would be interesting to see the defensive strategy with one of those big men. But either way, the four main guys. You want those guys, everyone besides the center. And even the center, you have Isaiah Stewart on the roster too. So if you have to at that time, if you don't have a guy who at that five position who's capable of doing it, you have a guy coming off the bench who may be able to give you those kind of minutes, being able to switch across the board, having size everywhere. And the main thing, I've said the main thing probably like five times already. There's multiple main things. You want to have size. You want to be able to switch across the board. But really, you just don't want to have someone on the court who's tiny, who is small, and is able to be picked on over and over and over in the playoffs, because playoffs is all about matchups. A guy can survive throughout the regular season. I'm not one of those guys who minimize the regular season. Regular season is very important. I want a guy, to be honest, I want a guy who's able to perform for 82 games over a guy that may perform 4 to 6 games in the playoffs. Like, that 4 to 6 games, he may pop off, like a Reggie Jackson type. If Reggie Jackson was sucked during the regular season and all of a sudden showed up in the playoffs, I wouldn't want to have him. But Reggie Jackson with the Clippers have been showing up throughout the regular season. Then he takes it up a notch in the playoffs. Regular season matters is what I'm saying, basically. Anyways, you don't want to have a guy in the playoffs who is going to be able to get picked on, who guys are just going to hunt after, who is going to get put in the screens over and over. And if he gets switched out on somebody, if he gets posted up by somebody, he's just in extreme mismatch to where you're going to lose the game over and over, and you just have no chance to win the game. Because that's what the NBA playoffs are. If you watch the playoffs, all it is mismatch hunting. Steph Curry does it, hunting for the big man, hunting for Grant Williams because he's not quick enough laterally to get after him. The Celtics do it nonstop against the Warriors. They're going after Steph. They're going after Klay Thompson. Hey, Jaylen Brown's even been going after Draymond Green. And some of those may not be considered mismatches to some people. But the overall point is they're hunting their mismatch, what they believe is a favorable mismatch. And if the Pistons have, like, for example, a Colin Sexton, who I please don't get Colin Sexton, please. But if they get a Colin Sexton, he will be a guy who gets hunted every single possession in the playoffs. You see how minimal impact Jordan Poole's been able to have for the Golden State Warriors going against a great team like this? Because high usage guards who are offensive guards who need the ball in their hands, when you're not the best player on the team, you can't have the ball in your hands nonstop. So if you don't have the ball in your hands nonstop, and then also you're getting picked on every single possession defensively and you're bad on that end, you are an active negative asset to your team on the floor at all times. You are actively negative. Now, Jordan Poole had a fine game four. He did better in this game four game. But the point remains, he's been a largely negative because he is picked on relentlessly on defense. He's so bad on that end. And he's a high usage guard who's not going to have the ball in his hands more than Steph. And he hasn't been against a great defense. Those kind of guards usually don't cut it unless you're like a superstar, like Steph Curry. So that's why I'm really against getting Colin Sexton. I don't want that. I don't want those kind of guards. I want a big, that's another reason why I don't want Jalen Brunson. He's tiny. I want to be able to have a bigger guard because you have the luxury of having a big point guard in Cade. When you have that, you should not then purposely go smaller. You should use the fact that you have a big point guard to your advantage so you can then get a natural size shooting guard who's probably – natural size of shooting guard is probably like 6'5", 6'6". You can have that. You have the luxury of getting that and being able to be big across the floor. So I think the Pistons really should utilize that. They really need to buy into that, the fact that they got the luxury of having a big point guard that gives them the chance to go big across the board. And I'm going to say it again. It doesn't have to be Killian Hayes. When I bring up Killian Hayes' archetype, I'm not saying, oh, Killian's the answer. Killian has to get good. If Killian becomes good, then, yeah, he's the answer at shooting guard. But if he's not the answer, if he doesn't become good, fine, it's not him, but it's someone like him. 6'5", long, strong, can play defense, can switch across the board, plays tough on defense, and he needs to be able to hit an outside shot, space the floor. Probably could take some of the playmaking responsibilities off of Cade sometimes. Like, that's the kind of archetype that I want next to Cade for all the reasons I just laid out. I think the NBA Finals and really the NBA playoffs have exhibited that from start to whenever they finish. That's how the Pistons need to build their team. They do not need to get defensive liabilities, high usage defensive liability guards on their team when they have Cade Cunningham. You need to take advantage of what Cade gives you, the ability to get a normal size wing and be able to say we're big everywhere. Like, that's just my opinion, though. I think that's pretty clear. I think anyone who disagrees with me is wrong. Yeah, I think everything you've seen in the NBA playoffs thus far would suggest that. I think all the great teams show that as well. But If you guys disagree with me, let me know in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kukio. I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts. I'd be shocked if a lot of people disagree with me on that. I'd be utterly shocked, but it may be. Some people may disagree with me. When we come back, a Pistons assistant coach is getting interviewed for a head coaching job. Usually we're all like, oh, yay, congrats. Hopefully the Pistons, little Pistons tree over here, you know, get a job somewhere. We're wishing the best for him. I'm going to tell you why I'm a little concerned. Just a tad. I'm a tad concerned. I don't really want to see this specific coach leave. We'll talk about that when we come back. But first, I have to tell you guys about another one of our sponsors, Sakura. Feeling your best starts with what you eat. Sakura helps you live a healthy, balanced lifestyle and truly enjoy it with delicious, plant-rich, transformational nutrition that builds a foundation for living in your best body. Looking and feeling your best doesn't mean deprivation. Instead, choose joy and abundance. Sakura's organic, plant-rich transformational nutrition programs are designed to help you cultivate body intelligence so you can nourish your body and experience the results that you want. Sakura is a wellness company anchored in food as medicine on a mission to nourish your body through the power of plants. Sakura gives you the tools that you need to transform your life with their organic, ready-to-eat meal delivery program and functional wellness essentials. Their nutritionally designed, chef-crafted breakfast, lunch, and dinners are made with powerful plant-rich ingredients, helping boost your energy, support your digestion, curb your sugar cravings, and get your skin glowing. Plus, it's all delivered right to your door, ready to eat. Sakura's functional, plant-rich wellness essentials help you create a body you love living in. From their best-selling metabolism super powder to the foundation, their daily supplement packs, Sakura's products are designed to support your wellness goals anytime, anywhere. And right now, Sakura is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when they go to sakura.com/lockedon20 or enter lockedon20 at checkout. That's Sakura, sakara.com/lockedon20 to get 20% off your order. That's sakura.com/lockedon20. So I want to thank you guys again for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Lockdown Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. Continue to show Lockdown that we're the best and fastest growing fan base at the Lockdown Network. Again, I'd really appreciate it. It's just the best way to support the podcast. I really appreciate all the support you guys have been showing me over the past few weeks, over the past few months. It's been amazing. So the Pistons have an assistant coach being interviewed for the Jazz head coaching job. And his name is Jerome Allen. Now, my little teaser getting into this was a little bit of a troll. I'm trolling a little bit, okay? I'm having fun with it. Trolling a little bit. Obviously, if an African-American assistant coach is able to go get a head coaching job or even an interview, if he's able to get a job like that, I think that's great. You need as many minority coaches in the NBA, as many minority positions filled in the NBA across, and not just the NBA, across sports. So I'm never going to get mad and root against an African-American getting a job opportunity somewhere. Like, that's not what I'm talking about. So obviously, if he were to get hired by the Utah Jazz, we'd all be happy for him and be extremely happy. However, we definitely would be, I would be disappointed. And for this reason only. Jerome Allen was hired by the Detroit Pistons in 2021. Before he was hired by the Detroit Pistons, he spent a long time with the Boston Celtics. He got hired by Brad Stevens over there in 2015. He was one of their longest tenured assistants. And at the time of the Pistons bringing him to Dwayne Casey's staff, he had already been interviewed for multiple head coaching jobs. He was one of the highest names on the market, or most known names on the market. You heard about him getting interviews this place, interviews that place. You heard a lot about how well-respected he was across the league, how many teams or how many coaching staff respected him, how players respect him across the league. He was one of those big names. One of those, I guess maybe not big names, because big names are like head coaches, but like one of those bigger names, assistant coaches that people are saying, okay, this guy may be up next. This guy may be up next, like a Nick Nurse, or you know how that goes. When a coach gets fired, there's usually a few names that everyone's immediately like, yep, this guy is going to get a chance right here. This is going to be an interview. And Jerome Allen is one of those guys. So when the Pistons were able to get him to come to the team as an assistant coach, it was a big-time hiring. We talked about it a little. I believe I talked about it a little bit on the podcast quite a few times already over the past year and a half, and talked about how I thought that Jerome Allen could become Dwayne Casey's replacement. That's actually what my prediction was. I believe Dwayne Casey would eventually retire or just head to the front office position somewhere with the Pistons as a consultant. And then Jerome Allen would come up and take over Dwayne Casey's position in Detroit. And that's honestly what I've been wanting to happen. One, like I said, I like seeing African-Americans get head coaching jobs. I also like the fact that the Pistons have an African-American GM and African-American head coach, so they can do that. Obviously, he's the best man for the job. It doesn't matter about race or anything, but if you can get the best man for the job and he's also an African-American in a black city, with all those things, Jeremy Grant, you guys know we talked about all that stuff Jeremy Grant talked about like last year, I think it was when we talked about it, but that's always a plus for me. But also, he's a damn good candidate, and he's probably one of the best candidates on the market. So I was really looking forward to the Pistons being able to have this guy on their coaching staff. And when Dwayne Casey moves on, you just elevate this guy. And you saw him on multiple occasions. I believe Killian Hayes mentioned him the most. But multiple players in the Pistons roster in post-game interviews, in random practice interviews, they don't get asked directly about Jerome Allen. But Jerome Allen's name seems to constantly get brought up over and over and over again about how, yeah, you know, me and Coach Allen were working on this, or Coach Allen was telling me about this. And yeah, Coach Allen's been on me about this. He's really been helping me with this. Like, I heard Killian mention Coach Allen multiple times this season. I heard a bunch of other players too, but really mainly Killian really was a fan of his. So the players love him. People across the league love him. He has great relationships, it sounds like, across the league, not only with coaching staff, but with players. So that's the kind of guy that I'd hope the Pistons would want to keep. Now, obviously, you can't just you can't fire Dwayne Casey and say, hey, listen, don't leave. We'll just give you the head coaching job. They can't do that. And again, if he can get that head coaching job over in Utah, super good for him. Congrats to him. Happy for him and all that. But I'd be sitting here lying if I said I wanted him to get the job. I'd be sitting here lying. I want him to be the replacement for Dwayne Casey. Unless like some big time head coach comes out of nowhere that is available when Dwayne Casey retires or eventually goes into this front office role that I think he's going to go into. I think Jerome Allen should be the replacement for Dwayne Casey. And it would really suck if he got pulled away after the Pistons got a really good hire last year with him. So let me know what you guys think about it. Are you guys worried about Jerome Allen leaving? Do you guys also see Jerome Allen as a possible replacement for Dwayne Casey in the future if he retires and goes into a front office role like I do? Or do you just not really care? If he leaves, he leaves. He's not that big of a deal. So he's an assistant coach, blah, blah. Let me know what your guys' thoughts are about that in the comment section down below or over on YouTube at Locked On – or no, over on Twitter, I mean, at Kuka Hill. If you're listening to the podcast. But that's all I've got for you guys today. Thank you guys for listening today. Thank you for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to our YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. Make sure you're making Locked On NBA Big Board your second listen of every single day. Host Raphael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA Draft, Mock Draft, player rankings, and of course, their big boards. It's free and available wherever you get your podcast. Until next time, I'll see you guys later. Enjoy these NBA finals. These games are becoming really, really good games. We're going for the Golden State Warriors over here. But anyways, enjoy the games. Have a great weekend. I'll see you guys on Monday. Until then, peace out, everybody. Stay safe.